Well, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about we can be healed. Many years ago, a corps of ROTC cadets from a large university lined the streets of a small southern city. The President of the United States was coming to their little town. They were to stand at attention as their commander-in-chief drove by in his presidential limousine. They maintained their decorum quite well until the president's limousine came to an unexpected halt. A window came open. It was the president himself. He was smiling and waving at the young cadets. No one knows who broke ranks, but suddenly the whole corps of cadets who were supposed to remain at attention just swarmed to the side of the presidential limousine to seek to touch his and to shake hands with him, this important man. Years later, they would tell their children, "I shook hands with the President of the United States." Jesus had that same kind of effect on people. As his fame as an author, as a teacher, and a healer spread throughout the Judean countryside, large crowds flocked around him. We should not be surprised that amongst these crowds were many who were physically challenged, the blind and the lame and those suffering from a variety of deliberating diseases. And one poor woman was there who had been hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. She had spent all that she had on physicians and no one had helped her. Rather, she grew worse. It reminded me of something comedian Milton Berle once said, you know. And he's a comedian, you know. He said, "Americans spend more money on doctors last year than ever before, and it's working. More doctors are feeling better." This poor lady was at her wit's end. She didn't know what was ailing her. All she knew was that she couldn't find relief. Reverend Shirley Duncanson of Winona, Minnesota, tells about a friend of her mother named Liz, who agonized for 20 years over a similar condition. Shirley had heard her mother say that Liz had a fatal form of leukemia. Well, then one of Liz's daughters insisted that Liz see a specialist. For the first time, somebody asked Liz how she knew that she had leukemia. What kind of tests had been run? Who had diagnosed her illness? Liz said, "I know I have the illness because my mother had leukemia and I had the same condition." For 20 years, Liz had been going to doctors, telling each one of them that she had leukemia. That slow variety of leukemia. All of the doctors assumed that somewhere, somebody had tested her for her illness. Her doctors had even given her blood transfusions when the blood count was low. For 20 years, Liz had lived with a fatal illness waiting for it to take her life. For the first time, a specialist demanded that she be tested for her illness. Well, Liz didn't want to be tested. After all, she knew what she had. At the insistence of her daughters, she finally consented. To Liz's surprise, she discovered that she didn't have leukemia at all. What she had was a bleeding ulcer. She had been planning her death when all she needed was medication to quiet her stomach and heal the ulcer. In our scripture for this morning, in Mark the 5th chapter, the 25th through the 34th verses, the woman with the issue of blood couldn't go to a doctor with a sophisticated diagnostic tool that we have today to help her. She had only one hope, and that was Jesus. And she said to herself, if I could just go and touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And, you know, Jesus was squeezing through the crowd, and she reached her small little hand out to touch his cloak. Notice that this is the story of every person who has a need that the material world cannot meet. One of the greatest heresies of our time is that modern technology can solve all our problems. It's simply not true. Where do we go to find a cure for a broken heart? Where do we go to solve a problem of a son or daughter who has left home and is living a destructive lifestyle? Where do we go when the medical science can no longer meet our needs? Where do we go when we lose a loved one in death? Where do we turn to under such circumstances? We turn where people have turned for years and centuries of time. We turn to the eternal God. This woman with the issue of blood was determined to find help. She was wiser than many people today. This is a favorite passage of mine, as I said before. Listen, think about it. After 12 years, this woman was still determined to find a way to get to be healed. She never gave up. She never gave up. I think that many people today who give up on something in their lives after just a few months, maybe a year, they want something, but they give up. They want healing, but they give up. And this woman, after 12 years, never gave up. Neither should we ever give up on anything in our lives. When I was a chaplain counselor at the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center years ago, helping recovering alcoholics, a man came into the center who had been in and out of these centers for 21 years. The staff had given up on this man. They said, Chaplain Hayward, you can counsel him. The psychologist gave me all the hopeless cases because they didn't think that religion could help anyone. And after all, these people were too far gone. I began meeting with this man once a week, along with helping him to understand his destructive behavior and giving him some practical ways to raise his self-esteem and give him some hope for his future life. We prayed together every day, every time he came and asked God's help. I had him read a page a day in the Psalms and the Proverbs and the New Testament, like I always tell people to do. And God came into his life in a very real way, and he turned his whole life around. He married his longtime girlfriend who had followed him around to these centers for a long, long time. He got his old job back, making more money than anybody down at the Salvation Army Center. And he bought a house and a sailboat, and he had a happy life without alcohol. After 21 years, he didn't give up, and God healed him, just like the woman in the scripture for today. I understand that the very talented and creative man, who created the Muppets, Jim Henson, died from a simple bronchial infection that went untreated until he was at death's door. It wasn't that people didn't notice. Apparently a number of people noticed and brought it to his attention. He simply wouldn't submit himself to medical treatment. His condition could have been treated by 4 days of antibiotics. Perhaps he thought he was too busy to see a doctor. Unfortunately, he's no longer busy doing anything. He's resting. The same is true for an author and runner, an expert runner, Jim Fox. His father and brother had both died from heart problems in their 40s. Yet Jim Fox ignored the pain in his chest and his arm. He died while jogging at the age of 48. He had reportedly been having symptoms for weeks before his death. Now think about it. This woman of our scripture for today was wiser than these two famous men. She was determined to get help, the help that she needed. And so she went where all of us must go sooner or later. She turned to Jesus. Notice that the woman's instinct was correct because Jesus did heal her. And this is important. Jesus does heal, even today. Did you see in a newspaper recently the survey of the American Academy of Family Physicians that had that said that 99% of the doctors believe there is an important relationship between prayer and healing? 99%. That's a staggering find. One newspaper story told about a woman named Virginia Harris who was told 20 years ago by surgeons in a hospital in Detroit, Michigan, that they didn't think she would ever recover from a car crash. So what did she do? She and her husband decided that they'd go home and they'd start praying for her healing. And they started praying, and they kept praying. And within 2 weeks, she was on her feet again. She said of her doctors, they didn't give me a lot of hope, and that wasn't good enough for me. I knew I had no other place to go than to pray. And I just prayed to God, and I felt there was a sustaining presence keeping me going. She sees her recovery as a witness to faith's importance in healing, a relationship nearly all doctors recognize according to this study, despite the traditional gulf between religion and science. Dr. Dale Matthews, a professor at Georgetown Medical School, says, "I think this is a historic time. The spiritual traditions of healing will be joined with surgery and medicine. I think we are re-entering the era of prayer and Prozac." To further examine the connection, nearly 1,000 healthcare professionals met last year at Harvard Medical School for Spirituality and Healing in Medicine. Of course, they were exploring the mucky area where religion meets medicine. Dr. Herbert Benson, founder of the Mind-Body Institute of Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital and a Harvard medical professor, said, "I'm not a religious person. I came to this not from belief, but from science. Honestly, I came to this with my feet dragging." Many doctors pinned their interest on scientific evidence, including two studies that lent credence to a faith-health connection. In California's study, prayer effects on recovery from heart problems, and it was a study of 400 subjects who were subjects to prayer, while the other half, one half of them were prayed for and the other half weren't. And nobody in the and the affiliated study prayed for the people that were not prayed for. In other words, there were 400 subjects, 200 of them were prayed for, and the other half were not prayed for. They wanted to see what would happen. And neither group was told about the prayers. The patients who received prayers had half as many complications as those who didn't, and had a lower rate of congestive heart failure. A second study at Dartmouth Medical School tracked how patients' own prayers helped them recover from bypass surgery. The death rate after 6 months from bypass surgery was usually 9%. For the churchgoers, however, the rate dropped to 5%. And for those who were ranked as deeply religious, none died during the period. As you know, I believe prayer is the most powerful force in our world today. I believe that when we pray, asking God to heal us or others, that God will heal us or others. This is why we, as a church, pray silently for individuals during our Sunday services. And the last Sunday of every month, we have a specific time for prayer and healing during our service, Sunday service. We've seen people healed by praying for them. No one knows why or how God heals. And sometimes we think some people are not healed. But God heals now or later, even if he heals in heaven. Always pray and ask God for healing. There is one thing that is important for healing. Prayer should not be a substitute for medical treatment. God has given us modern medical and surgical procedures to aid the healing process. It is criminal when medicine is withheld from people with the explanation that faith and prayer alone are all that's needed. Notice in our scripture for this morning that this woman's healing combines the theological and the psychological. There are many people who would like to read this passage and then deduce from this passage the story of the power of the mind over the body. We can think ourselves to good health, they say, but this line of thinking is not really true in this particular passage. Many people believe that this cites Jesus' words to the woman later on after he has healed her, "Your faith has made you well." What is faith? For many people, it is simply a matter of thinking the right thoughts. For them, the issue is entirely psychological or psychosomatic. There is psychological dimension to the healing process, but you cannot deduce this from the recent studies on prayer. Notice that Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" after he perceived the power had gone forth from him. The implication is clear. It was Jesus himself who had healed her, not just the woman's psychological condition brought about by being in his presence. This says that faith is more than an abstract belief. It is belief in God. It is theological. It is not abstract faith, but it is concrete, specific faith. That is also the conclusion of the research on prayer. Notice in the study we cited, the patients who profited from prayers did not even know that the people were praying for them. Prayer works. It is not simply a psychological tool. It is a spiritual reality. There is a loving God who hears our prayers and is moved by our prayers. Sometimes God answers these prayers in ways we do not understand. But that is where faith comes in. Still, we can say that the best way to get back on our feet is first to get on our knees. The woman said, "If only I could touch the hem of his garment." And she was right. Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, she found her healing. But in order to experience healing in our lives, we need to ask God to come into our lives and help us and heal us. In a time of silent prayer, let's ask God to come into our lives this morning. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help and heal me in Jesus' name. Amen." Let us pray silently. Heavenly Father, we all need you in our lives. Forgive all of our sins and mistakes of the past and come with power and love into our lives and help and heal us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.